Hello, St. Thomas Aquinas, and welcome back to Sound and Silence. Today we have a special interview with Dr. Rennig from the University of New Hampshire, and she's going to be talking to us a little bit about civil discourse and how this can make us better citizens and improve democracy and essentially become more open-minded and thoughtful citizens. So, as always, we're going to start with a prayer. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So without further ado, hello.
Hi, Luke. It's great to be here.
Why does civil discourse matter in society?
Sure. So we often think about civil discourse as what's happening in our political worlds around us, particularly at the national level. But there was this famous educational philosopher named John Dewey, and he argued at the end of his life, when someone asked him, "How could you sum up your life's work?" And he said, democracy begins in conversation. And so in my work in the Department of Communication at UNH, I pick up on this idea, which is to say that democratic talk, the way we talk together, shapes the sorts of democratic actions, the types of decisions that we can make, the types of communities that we ultimately end up living in, the types of ways that we collaborate to solve shared problems, and the ways then that we organize towards the common good. And so I study civil discourse then because democracy hinges on conversation, the ways that we engage together to work through contentious matters. Other scholars have argued at this current moment our inability to engage in civil and productive conversations isn't just about losing our ability to talk to one another, but it's losing our ability to self-govern together, to make decisions together. And so I believe that civil discourse is at the core of how we can engage towards a better future together.
So it's by talking with each other and discussing things that we're actually able to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we can't do that, then we're not making a decision, we're just going by what we've already decided is true.
Yeah, and with that too, if we're not talking to each other in more collaborative ways, in more deliberative ways, in more dialogic ways, we're also not moving forward, because it's easy for us to default to arguing, and who has the best argument wins, or to not even engage on the issue because it could be hard, or we might be concerned we're going to offend someone, or we might feel like we don't have enough knowledge to engage on that issue. But then we're not learning. We're not having those conversations. We're not critically thinking about whatever that issue would be, whether it's climate or gun policy or different political affiliations and their value systems. If we're not talking together, then we're not really learning either.
So sometimes we try to start with what we know and take that to a conversation, but we should start with a conversation and use that to build what we know.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So what is civil discourse? What distinguishes it from other forms of conversation?
Yeah, so for me, civil discourse represents a meaningful way that citizens can talk about pressing social issues together. It's moving away from adversarial disagreement to people fighting, which is at the core of some of the polarization that we see in this winner-takes-all style of debate. And in civil discourse, it means towards moving towards more mutual understanding, thoughtfully reasoned arguments, and I think that that can help us foster more meaningful conversations and democratic engagement. So there's this political philosopher named Benjamin Barber, and he says there's 9 characteristics to civil discourse, so I'll offer those to you. The first one is searching for commonality. That when we engage one another, we should work to see where our points of shared experience might be or shared values might be. We should be deliberative, meaning like critically reflexive on the arguments and the ideas of the other and how those line up with our own or what we may know. It should also be inclusive, so we need to make sure that diverse voices are a part of that, and that they feel like they have a seat at the table. Okay. It's provisional, which is a big word, meaning it's also subject to revision, which means we're willing to change our ideas. We're open towards another. It also involves listening and learning. It involves leveling power between participants, being imaginative, and he also argues that it should be empowering. And civil discourse should lead us towards more shared action for our democratic society.
Great. So it should be mutual. Is that you? Mm-hmm. And so what defines civility?
Yeah, civility is a hard term because the term civility itself gets thrown around. It's something that I would call has a lot of linguistic force. We hear this word civility and we're like, ah, civility. We need more civility. Or people are like, no, so we are using civility to call out people. So we have to unpack that a little bit. Sometimes when people talk about civility, they're using it to mean politeness. And the challenge then was we get really wrapped up in this idea of how do we be polite in conversation. But that can lead us to sometimes not have very difficult conversations, to not want to engage around challenging topics, or to work through conflict. Because it's not to say that conflict is bad, but we can use this idea of civility then to shut down any conflict and to say, oh, you just need to be polite.
Right.
There's also ways in which civility gets then used to really shut down marginal groups at the same time, too, and becomes an issue of justice. And so we have to be careful about how civility gets used. That being said, I come from a place in which I think about civility as ways that we can keep the conversation going. And so instead of thinking about it as politeness, I like to think about it as, okay, what are the communicative means that we can use to stay in conversation? And this allows us to ask questions, to challenge another one's ideas, not from a point of fighting with them, but from a point of curiosity or gracious contestation. And it allows us to work through disagreements in ways that could help us make some better decisions.
Okay. So we need to feel comfortable talking with people in ways that might refute what they're saying or disagree with them because we should know that they recognize that as